Welcome, and thank you for standing by. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Lines are open and interactive, so please utilize your mute button. If you do not have a mute button, please press star 6 to self-mute. I'd like to turn the meeting over to your host, and anytime you may begin.
Thank you. And hello, everyone. This is Shane Lind, BK4KHZ, your ARIS moderator for today. Through the help of amateur radio volunteers and the crew on the ISS, we soon hope to establish radio contact with the International Space Station as it flies more than 400 kilometres above the Earth over Maryland, United States of America. This is all accomplished through ARIS, which is Amateur Radio on the International Space Station. The ISS is currently approaching the US coastline and is travelling along at around 27,500 kilometres per hour. The contact for today will be performed using the ARIS Telebridge Network, which is a worldwide network of amateur radio ground stations that enable students to contact the ISS. ARIS is an international consortium of volunteers from 9 nations that assist to develop and operate the amateur radio equipment on board the International Space Station. Those agencies that support ARIS are the American Radio Relay League, the worldwide AMSAT Amateur Radio Satellite Corporations, the Canadian Space Agency, the European Space Agency, the Japanese Space Agency, Roscosmos, the Russian Space Agency, and of course NASA. The amateur radio ground station that will establish radio contact with the ISS today is ARIS Ground Station K6DUE, located at the Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland, USA, and operated by Bob McCown, N3IYI. Thanks for helping us out today, Bob.
My pleasure.
This contact will also be rebroadcast worldwide through the amateur radio EchoLink system, courtesy of Bob Pittman, VK4DA. We have around 5 minutes until contact time. Our ISS link-up will be with the students from Curtin Primary School, Canberra, Australia. Now let's check in with the school, and we have asked teacher Deborah Fitzgerald to please tell us about the school and the students that will be taking part today. Over to you, Deborah.
Hi, Shane, and good evening to Tony, Shane, Peter, who's here in our school auditorium, Stephen, I'm not sure if he's listening in from London, and, of course, Bob McCown in Maryland, USA. Curtin Primary School is situated in Canberra, Australia, and within our Australian Parliamentary Triangle of Canberra, which is the capital city of Australia. We've got a school of 500-plus students, and I have 12 students sitting here on our stage with their questions ready to ask Nick Haig, the astronaut. We are very excited, and I'm looking at an auditorium full of silent adults and children. So it's a pretty momentous occasion. Over.
Excellent. Thank you, Deborah. Yeah, that's really great, and I'm sure everybody will get quite a bit of enjoyment out of tonight's proceedings. Okay, we've got about 3 minutes left before the space station comes over Bob's location. So, Bob, before the contact begins, can you please tell us about your ARIS ground station, where you are, and how you'd like to handle the conversation? Back to you.
Thank you, Shane. Yes, we're located on the roof of a building at the Goddard Space Flight Center, about 8 miles north of Washington, D.C. We'll be running the contact today on 2-meter FM radio, which is a one-way-at-a-time system, push-to-talk, which means that we throw a switch here when you want to talk to the astronaut, and then we throw the switch back when the astronaut, so that you hear his answer. And so it's very important for you to say at the end of your question, say, over. That way we know to switch. And when the channel is open before the astronaut comes online, you'll hear a rushing noise like this. And that's the sound of a channel, an FM channel, without any voice on it. But like FM broadcast radio, as soon as the signal comes in, it will generally come in pretty strong and pretty quick. And so in just a minute or two, we'll begin calling, and you'll hear the tone and hear us call until the astronaut answers. Back to you, Shane.
No problem. Thank you, Bob. And, yep, no, we really look forward to that. All right, now we have around a little over 1 minute left to go before the space station comes over K6DUE. So remember, everyone, what we're doing on the ISS is an experiment, so we can never really tell the results positive or negative until the experiment is over. And students, it's really important, please don't forget to say the word over at the end of your question. So in a short time, the International Space Station should be coming over Maryland. So, Bob, I'm going to hand it over to you and your team, Ken, Steve, and Tommy, and we wish you good luck and all the best. I know we're a little bit early. We've still got about a minute to go, but we'd rather be a little bit earlier than too late. Back to you, Bob.
Thanks, Shane, and here we go. N1SS, N1SS, this is K6DUE calling for scheduled school contact. Over. NA1SS, NA1SS, this is K6DUE calling for a scheduled school contact. Over. NA1SS, NA1SS, this is K6DUE calling for a scheduled school contact. Over. NA1SS, NA1SS, this is K6DUE calling for a scheduled school contact. Over. NA1SS, NA1SS, this is K6DUE calling for a scheduled school contact. Over.
Yeah, K6DUE, this is NA1SS. I've got you loud and clear. Morning, this is Nick.
Good morning, Nick, and from K6DUE. We have excellent signal, and we will now turn you over to Curtin School in Canberra. Over.
Ready for questions. Over.
Why are you in space? What are you working on? Over.
Yeah, Joshua, great question. We're up here to explore. We're trying to answer questions we don't have the answers for. Primarily, we're looking at the world around us and how things work and trying to figure out how we're going to explore deeper into space. We're in space because we can experience microgravity or the feeling of not having gravity pulling on our bodies or affecting things around us for a long period of time. On the ground, we can only do that when we drop things or when we fly on an airplane for a few seconds at a time. But up here, we can do it for months and years. And that's what makes this laboratory on the space station so special. Over.
Hi, it's Mia. How long have you been on the space station? Over.
Hi, Mia. I've been on the space station a little more than 2 months, about 65 days. Over.
Hi, it's Hugh. Do you ever worry about space junk hitting the ISS? Over.
Hugh, you betcha. It's a big concern. You know, we have a big sky up here, and so there's, you know, a lot of space, but there's also a lot of little bits of debris that fly around, and some of it's man-made and some of it's natural. In fact, I was sitting in the airlock about a month ago, and I heard a small little piece of debris ping off the outside. That's why we have shielding on the station to protect us. And every now and then, we see something big enough coming to us that we have to move the space station out of the way. Over.
Hi, it's Avinka. Do you go outside the space station? Over.
Avinka, I have. I was able to perform 2 spacewalks at the end of March and the beginning of April, and it's an amazing view, an amazing experience to be inside your own spacesuit that's self-sustaining, so it's like I'm in my own spacecraft. It has everything I need to survive out there for about 7 hours. Over.
Hi, it's Max. What can you see in space in the ISS? Over.
So, Max, we can see the Earth, and when I look down, I can almost see the entire continent of Australia in one view as we fly over. you can see the colors on the ground. And so I can see red soil, and I can see deep blue oceans, and I can see the turquoise greens when I see a reef. So it's an amazing view down. When I look up, I see space. I see the moon, I see the stars, and it's very similar to the sky that you see at night, the moon and the stars. They're about the same size, the moon's about the same size, and the stars look very similar because I'm only 250 miles above you, so I'm not that much closer to the moon, and the stars really don't change their perspective. Over.
Hi, it's Lucy. What does space smell like?
So space does definitely have a smell. Every time we open a hatch when a new vehicle comes in, or we open the airlock when we've exposed it to the vacuum of space, there's a very deep, what I would describe as a metallic smell that comes from that. And I think it's because of the metal being exposed to the vacuum of space and the little atomic oxygen that we have this high up in what's left of the Earth's atmosphere. But it's very unique. Over.
Hi, it's Andre. What's the most needed object in space? Over.
Andre, the things we need most are the things that we need to survive. So it's water and oxygen and food and the ability to continually clean our atmosphere so that it stays a healthy atmosphere, scrubbing out our carbon dioxide and removing any of the particulate. If you notice at your house, dust accumulates on the ground, but up here, there's no gravity to pull any kind of dust or dirt to the ground, so it just floats around. So we use ventilation to circulate our air and clean it continually. So the things we need most are the things we need to stay alive. Over.
Hi, it's Kaylin. Does time change in space? Over.
You know, I haven't noticed a difference in how I perceive time. We use a clock up here, Greenwich Mean Time, and that's what we synchronize ourselves to. And so I have a normal 24-hour day. If I look outside the window, because we're going around the Earth 16 times a day, I actually would be able to see 16 sunrises and 16 sunsets every day. So when it's time to sleep up here, we have to close the windows so the light doesn't come in, and we turn out all the lights so it's dark so that we can get some sleep. Over.
Hi, it's Ben M. Why does it look slow when the ISS is going so fast? Over.
Everything just depends on where you're standing. It's all relative. So if you're driving down a highway going really fast, say you're going 150 kilometers an hour, and another car comes up to you and they're going 149 kilometers an hour, as you pass them, it looks like you're going pretty slow relative to them. But relative to the ground that you're driving on, you're going pretty fast. So it's the same thing up here. Everything looks like it's going slow because we're going fast together, right next to each other up here. But we are zooming across the sky at 17,500 miles an hour. Over.
Hi, it's Hannah. How do you know it is lantern when it is always dark? Over.
Yeah, Hannah, well, it's all based on a clock. So I set my clock every day, and my alarm wakes me up at 6 a.m. And then lunchtime is around 12 o'clock, so we stop and we have our midday meal. And then when we finish our workday, we usually turn out the bright lights so that we have dim light inside to try to get ready to go to bed. And then according to the schedule, at 9:30 at night, we start turning off all the lights inside and shutting our windows so that we can make it dark inside and get ready for sleep. Over.
Hi, it's Ben H. How do you eat without your food going everywhere? Over.
Ben, it's really difficult to do, so you have to be very careful, especially when you open packages, because if you pull on the package and you end up shaking it, or you open a can and you end up jerking it a little too much, things fly everywhere. And even though I've been up here for over 2 months, I still make mistakes. And some of my crewmates have been up here for almost 6 months, and I've still seen them open a can and get food all over themselves. So eating a meal can be a very adventurous experience. Over.
Hi, I'm Emily. Do you have to take food and water to ISS? Over.
Emily, we do have to receive supplies. So every month or two, we have a cargo vehicle that will bring up food and anything that we need to help resupply us. But we're also trying to figure out how could we live and make our way to Mars. And we wouldn't be able to resupply ourselves so often when we go to Mars. And we're not going to be able to take everything we need for a 2 or 3 year mission. So things that we're practicing up here are recycling all our water. So if I sweat, that moisture goes into the air, and then we have a system that takes that moisture out of the air and turns it back into drinking water for us. We do the same thing with our urine, so we're trying to make sure that we don't lose water so that we can recycle it just like we do on the Earth in the natural water cycle. And we're doing the same thing with food because we're doing experiments up here on how to grow vegetables and plants so that we can consume them. So it's a very important topic, and it's a great question. Over.
Hi, it's Joshua. What happens if there's an emergency on the ISS? Over.
Well, Joshua, if we hear an emergency alarm, everybody stops what they're doing and we get together because the six of us need to make sure we're on the right sheet of the same sheet of music and we're ready to respond. But we've been training for 2 years leading up to this as a team so that we know how to respond to those emergencies, whether it may be a fire alarm or it may be something toxic in our atmosphere or if some piece of space debris hits the station and causes a hole and we start to depressurize. We're ready to respond in any situation. Over.
Hi, it's Mia. What happens if you get hurt or sick on the ISS? Over.
Well, Mia, fortunately, we have a doctor on board. That's not always the case. In any situation, we all receive basic medical training. So even me, I'm an engineer, and I haven't had much medical training in my life, but they taught me how to pull teeth and help fill a cavity, or they've taught me how to give someone stitches or provide an IV bag in case they're sick. And we also have a pharmacy up here so that we can give...
I think we've lost contact. Let's give Nick a big round of applause for talking with us this morning. Back to you, school.
Okay, big round of applause, please.
Bad idea.
Okay.
This is K6DUE, clear with NA1SS. Back to you, Shane.
Excellent. Thank you, Bob, and we really appreciate the work you've done there. Excellent signals. Nice to get through 14 questions, I believe. So that was a really good effort with some very well-detailed answers by Nick. Ladies and gentlemen, we've just shared a wow moment of history. Amateur radio station K6DUE, located in Maryland, USA, and operated by Bob McCown, N3IYI, ably assisted by Ken, Steve, and Tommy, contacted astronaut Nick Haig, KG5TMV, aboard the International Space Station, and spoke with students at Curtin Primary School in Canberra, Australia. Now for the international volunteer team of ARIS, including the amateur radio satellite corporations around the world, the American Radio Relay League, the Canadian Space Agency, the European Space Agency, the Japanese Space Agency, Roscosmos, and NASA. This is Shane Lind, your ARIS moderator, sending my greetings to you all in amateur radio terms, 73s, which means best wishes. Well done, Curtin. Hello, Peter, are you still there?
I'm not hearing them either.
Nothing here.
Yomi,
Hi, Shane.
Can you tell us?
Deborah in Canberra and Peter, and thank you very much for setting this up for us. As I said, we've got a crowded auditorium. We got through every student getting to ask one question and a couple of students getting to the second round, so that's fantastic. Over.
Excellent. Thank you, Deborah. No, we really appreciate that, and we trust that everyone there really got some enjoyment out of the experience. And, you know, a really good job that you've done there with the students, some good questions, and we got some really good detailed answers back. So hopefully everyone's quite happy with the outcome.
Thanks, Shane. And I don't know if I added that we've got ABC Radio in Canberra who was here recording the interview with Nick. Over.
Excellent. Thank you. And roughly how many people in the auditorium would you have?
About 400.
Wow, that's very good. Okay, well, look, that concludes the program for today. Thank you very much to everyone, and congratulations to all the students. So if there's nothing further to add, Bob, K6DUE, thanks very much for your efforts, and also Bob, VK4DA, for rebroadcasting on EchoLink. And Yumi, you may now stop the recording. Thank you.
Thank you. Recording stopped.
Thanks, Shane. Good night.